What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Wolfpack Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Clemens. Here with me, as always, are my two co-hosts, Michael Plant and Ike Bonney. What's up, fellas?
Hey. I'm just laughing to myself because I loved Ike's intro.
Ike's intro, huh?
I mean, I like the Wolfpack Podcast, too, but Ike made me laugh just by looking at me.
How's your guys' week so far?
Go ahead, Ike. I'm probably doing the best out of all three of us right now. Dylan and Ike are a little under the weather here tonight, guys, but they're here to give you their best effort.
I'm gonna give it the old college try tonight. Yeah,
I can say it for Dylan though. I can't say it for Ike. I don't know how about it, how his effort level is gonna go tonight, but we hope.
That is,
yeah, that's it. He showed up. Availability is the best ability.
Did you guys check out any of the game last night?
I love it.
I saw the beginning of it. That was probably the most exciting.
I did. Yeah, Pickens.
It wasn't good. Yeah, that catch by Pickens was absolutely nasty. Yeah. Does it make you happy, Ike? The Bears passed on him not just once, but twice in this year's draft.
Sounds about right. Makes me
happy as a Packers fan.
Yeah. You drafted Christian Watson over him, didn't you?
Yay. Yes. And Christian Watson is on the injury report again.
Ooh.
Shocker. Yep. And he can't catch footballs.
Let's be honest. Spoiler alert. Every wide receiver from the Packers Tampa Bay game on the injury report, just about.
Right. But hey, we might as well start the show off with a question. I beat offered Michael Thomas for Cortland Sutton. Currently have the running back wide receiver stack of William Sutton. Should I take the deal? Mike, let's start with you.
If it wasn't Michael Thomas, I'd say yes, but I still think Cortland Sutton has a better output at rest of season than Michael Thomas. And same with Williams, you know, overall, if you want to consider both of them, I think Williams outscores Michael Thomas rest of season. Same with Sutton. I think the Broncos offense are just getting started.
Yeah. I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, no, I would stay pat there,
man. Stay pat.
Yep. But yeah, before we get started into our week three game preview, I just want to remind you to please subscribe to the Fantasy Six Pack YouTube channel and subscribe and like wherever you listen to your podcasts. And of course, go on over to fantasysixpack.net/plans and check out our membership, guys. You still use the promo code F6P early for 25% off. You get access to our award-winning rankings, our awesome Discord, and direct access to our whole Fantasy Six-Pack team. The Discord's fantastic, guys. I promise you won't be disappointed.
I was just going to say, Jeb, if you know you want to ask as many of those questions as you want, join that Discord. We answer them all the time.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And then, like every week, this episode of the podcast is sponsored by the American Razz Facebook group. Some sports memorabilia going on over there, guys. Some raffles. You can win some pretty cool stuff for like $10. Pretty much any sports memorabilia you need. Not any, but you can find some stuff over there and some like squares for Sunday football games and stuff.
It's cheap as hell. It's super cheap. Even if you're not into sports memorabilia, maybe you're a bowler like Dylan over here to my left. Mm-hmm. They do bowling balls too. Cheap.
Yep.
Super cheap.
Bunch of cool stuff over there, guys. So just go ahead and check it out. But why don't we just jump right into it? Try to keep this podcast a little bit shorter, sweeter. I mean, I doubt it, but we'll give it a try.
It's never first... short and sweet with us.
Yeah, definitely not. But jumping into our first game, the New Orleans Saints at the Carolina Panthers. Ike, Jameis struggled last week after a good previous week. What do you think about him in this matchup against the Panthers?
I don't think you should be starting him in like any format. The four fractures,
I mean,
kind of scare me.
Not even super flex. That's my one question. Obviously not.
I have him like quarterback 26.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like.
It seems like his turnover woes are back too.
After one game.
Okay. Dude, he threw like three.
He did. And they were like all back-to-back-to-back tries.
Plus, Panthers don't have the worst defense either, so they're going to be right on top of him.
Yeah, they're definitely going to put some pressure on Jameis for sure. That might not bode well for him.
Pressure for sure.
Yeah. But, Ike, what do you think about the wide receivers in this offense and what we've seen so far? We've seen Jarvis Landry go off the first week, struggle a little bit the second week. Olave's shown us a bunch of flashes, has a whole shit ton of air yards if you're into that.
I was going to say that. That's
cool, if you're into that kind of stuff.
and then Michael Thomas is just, I guess he's the touchdown scorer in this offense. What are you thinking here, pal?
He's really the only guy you can trust starting.
Interesting. Okay. Do you think Olave should be rostered?
Oh yeah.
I hope so. I have him.
In 12 team leagues, both of them?
I would say even 10 probably.
Okay.
I mean, based off Landry's week two, I think he got like 5 targets or whatever. So he's still involved.
Yeah. So I'd wait. For sure.
He is involved. And the thing is as we know, all rookie wide receivers, they tend to break out in the second half, and Olave, I mean, he has that potential to break out in the second half like we have seen in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. But jumping over to the Panthers now, Mike, you know, CMC has been very solid so far, but we haven't seen him really boom yet. Are we worried that his ceiling might not be there in this offense? Because Baker just kind of likes to send the ball, and he's not big on being a check down guy. And I think we're kind of seeing that in McCaffrey's production. What do you think, Mike?
Obviously, the ceiling is cut just a smidge, but I'm not really worried at all. He still leads all running backs in the league in snap percentage at 86.5. This is more than Saquon Barkley, who's been, you know, fairly dominating it as a running back the past 2 weeks. Yeah, he only has 1 touchdown and a total of 10 targets, 8 catches through the 2 games. Compared to last year, where he had 15 targets and 14 receptions through 2 games. But the most noticeable thing here is actually his passing yards, which, I mean, I'm sure is attributed to the volume. But last year, through 2 games, he had 154 passing yards. Receiving yards. Thank you. And this year, anyone want to take a guess?
60.
50.
76.
50.
Okay.
104 less than last year.
Yeah, that's a little bit alarming, man.
It is a little bit alarming here, but they have played tough defenses the past 2 weeks in the Browns. And I am blanking on the last week.
They played the Giants in week 1.
Thank you. Yes, that's true. But I still believe here that CMC still gets the volume. He's on the field enough. I came up with a catchy little I wouldn't say I came up with it, but I have altered it from somebody I heard from the Fantasy Life podcast. If he's out running a route, he's gonna score a large amount. So he's out on the field, he's running routes, he's eventually gonna hit that ceiling. He hasn't hit it yet, but the floor is still there. You play him every week, and the ceiling will come.
True. And then speaking of playing someone every week, DJ Moore saved his week last week with a touchdown. Is that something we could count on this week as well or no?
I hate that you asked me this fucking question because I know I'm going to get acid on the Sunday podcast, which I'm fine. Mm-hmm. I will answer it. It's just, you know how I feel about DJ Moore. No, you cannot trust him on a consistent basis anymore. Even with Baker, it's a slight upgrade in the QB position. Still not good enough. I mean, don't chase the 1 of 4 touchdowns he's going to get all year. This offense runs through CMC.
Is there a quarter of the way there, man?
He's a wide receiver 3. That's all. That's all.
Yeah, and that's definitely disappointing considering where you drafted him. You probably drafted him as like a top, 18 receiver, somewhere in there?
Somewhere in that top range, 20. Top 20 for sure.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
I mean, unless, you know, and I'm not wishing for anything, no ill will. If CMC gets injured, I can see DJ Moore getting a little bit more involved. But with CMC, this offense runs through him.
And then, Mike, let me throw this at you. Robbie Anderson's out targeted DJ Moore, too. Should you consider him being rostered in 12-team leagues?
It's by 1 target that he's been out targeted him. Mm-hmm. So it's really not a great disparity. And you know how I feel about DJ Moore. So I like Robbie Anderson here, you know, for that potential to get that 1 catch for 75 yards, but I'm not banking on it every week, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would rather still go with DJ Moore just because the volume is there on a more consistent basis.
Okay, Rena. Jumping over to the next game, the Houston Texans at the Chicago Bears. Ike, I'm going to start with you here in the Texans. Are you starting Damian Pierce this week after what we saw the Packers run game do to the Bears run defense?
Depends on what kind of league you're playing in. Standard and half PPR in like 12-team leagues, sure. But if you're in a 10-team league, PPR, no chance. He would have to get like 20 carries and a touchdown for him to be, even be relevant.
I mean, unfortunately, as a Bears fan, I think this week might be the week for him to be able to do it. The Packers were just able to do whatever they wanted to on the ground.
Aaron Jones is also significantly 100% times better than Damian.
Yeah, I hear you. And the Packers were kind of running the stuff like to the outside. And I'm not sure that's Damian Pierce's strong suit like it is with Aaron Jones, because Aaron Jones was more effective than A.J. Dillon last week. We could agree on.
He's definitely going to get the carries, though. That's for sure.
And then, Ike, are you worried about Brandon Cooks matching up on Jalen Johnson? I seen, like, really weird. Like, I'm not saying he's a shutdown corner or something, but teams are really shying away from targeting him. Like, I should have had the stat pulled up, but I don't have it. It's been some absurd amount of plays that he's played where he hasn't been targeted. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I didn't expect him to be that good, but Brandon Cook should still be fine. I mean, you drafted him where you did to start him most weeks, especially against a Bears defense, and it's bad. So you can have a little bit of skepticism, but you're still playing him.
Yeah, for sure. LaPlante, do you agree? You're cool with Brandon Cooks this weekend? You're muted, pal.
That's fair. That is fair. I was definitely had to burp earlier, and I didn't want to, you know, share that with everybody else. I think you're overthinking a little bit with Jalen Johnson. You still play Brandon Cooks. He's still the number one target. He still gets the volume. The Bears defense is not what it used to be. You're overthinking it just a little bit.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it right now.
Oh, man. But, I mean, if you want, I can talk about this Bears offense, even though we can make it short and sweet.
Yeah, go ahead. Talk about it. I'm going to search for this stat.
All right. So this Bears offense, guys, it's not great. I mean, the running game was good last week against the Packers. David Montgomery came through for fantasy owners. But this passing game is just abysmal. I am completely worried, at least about this. The running game seems to be fine so far. But only 28 passing attempts through 2 weeks.
Flacco, like, doubled that in the first week, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, man, just wait. Just wait. I got a stat for you. This offense is like a mix between the Ravens and the Seahawks right now. They don't run as many offensive plays, just like the Seahawks. And they pass even less than the Ravens.
It's great.
Jimmy Garoppolo came in after Trey Lance. You know, I pray that he has a healthy recovery, and I can't wait to see him next year. But Jimmy fucking Garoppolo threw the ball 21 times in his game coming in.
I mean, he did come in like times. The second quarter, but still.
Maybe the first quarter. Three quarters of the same amount of pass attempts as Justin Fields has had in 2 weeks in, what, 2.5 quarters?
Yeah, man, it's pretty concerning with this offense. There's just not enough volume.
The scheme needs to turn around for this offense to be more fantasy relevant. I'm sorry. It's just they are way too complacent. They are playing to not lose. They are not playing to win.
Yeah.
I mean, that first drive, though, man, they look good.
Yep. And they had a fullback on the field and then didn't bring the fullback back on the field until the quarter. So nice question there, Bears.
But we do have a live question here that, I mean, I at least want to answer real quick.
We got a couple.
Yep. So Monique wants to know, how do you guys feel about starting Julio or Gage in the place of Mike Evans? Julio is most likely going to be out this week. All right. I saw that he did not practice this today. And they are looking that he is going to be a game time decision. And when you got game time decisions, just bench him. Mm-hmm. Go with Gage. He's going to play.
Even Gage is hurt too.
And
I honestly don't love it either of those guys. I think Brady's going to struggle this week again.
It's entirely possible.
It's going to be a low-scoring game.
That's what I mean, yeah.
And then Francisco here. This is actually the one I was talking about, and then I pulled Monique's up, and I was like, whoa, that's not the question. should I trade Zeke for Hollywood Brown, full-point PPR, Arby's, or Mixon and Swift?
You should.
Personally, I would try to get a little bit more than Hollywood Brown, just because really? I'm sure you can find – well, I'm sure you can find somebody with, you know, that – values the Zeke name brand to where maybe you can get like a Deontay Johnson who is not very good right now and is still
I don't think you should push it, man, because Zeke's value is total dog shit right now. And so
it's not
like
dog
Hollywood
shit because he's still because all RB's running back value is dog shit right now. So you can't say his is much worse. Like that's my only thing.
He hasn't given you anything yet.
If you can try and get more, that's all I say. But yes, I agree with you. That is having a great 1-2 punch with Mixon Swift.
And then we got one more. Should I start DK or Curtis Samuel this week in half point PPR? I think it's still DK, man.
I don't know. That one's a close one. If it was full point PPR, which is what the show is based on, I'd probably actually lean Curtis. Just because he is actually getting more red zone targets than DK Metcalf on the year. They both get the same amount of volume, but Curtis Samuel seems to have a little bit more upside currently.
Sure.
But half point PPR DK, yes.
And then just go back to my Jalen Johnson stat real quick.
You're still harping on that.
In two games, and he's played every single defensive snap, he has not been targeted on the season. It's kind of wild.
I mean, one game wasn't a monsoon. Hurricane Katrina. True. I mean, so we can toss that one out. So through one game.
Nah. But I think we can go ahead and jump into our next game. Kansas City Chiefs at the Indianapolis Colts. Ike, man, you know, I listened to a lot of different content, and CEH was on about five or six different podcasts. Talking that he needs to be a sell high. Is that the kind of boat that you're in? Because he's been great so far, but can he keep this pace up in this offense?
I mean, he's only averaging 11 opportunities a game right now. He's getting saved by a couple touchdowns and very, very bad running back play from your stars. Like Derrick Henry's doing bad. Dalvin Cook's doing bad. There's probably a bunch more, but I don't want to name them all.
Mm-hmm.
So
Derrick Henry,
Michael Plant, you're muted, so you're talking.
I know. All running backs, like I said, are doing bad. Field Yates tweeted, you know, there's not one running back that's scored 17 points in back-to-back weeks this year. So
that's.
But yes, it would be a good time to trade him.
Yeah, I tend to agree to an extent. Like you said, that it's just his touches that worry me. It's not really enough to sustain this. This production, and he's not really getting any of the red zone carries either, which isn't great.
I remember seeing that he has, what was it? I think 35 half point PPR points so far through 2 weeks on only 21 total touches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What? That's possible.
To be fair, man, it's that offense. That offense this year has been really efficient, and he's just a product of that offense. But when he does get the ball though, guys, we do got to give him credit. He does look pretty good. He looks fast.
He looks a lot better than the first year when he couldn't get into the end zone after four rushing attempts.
Agreed. Ike, and then, man, I think everyone was pretty stoked about Juju after the volume he saw in the first week. And then he comes back and gives you like 2.5 fantasy points. I think like that. Can we really trust starting any of these wide receivers on this team? Which sounds weird considering Patrick Mahomes is throwing to him, but the way that he's going to spread the ball out everywhere, man, and we've seen him use like 3-4 different tight ends and a fullback and stuff. I don't know if you could count on someone week in and week out.
The only one I would is Juju and it's.
But we just saw him be an asshole. Territory.
Yeah, that happened to AJ Brown. Didn't he catch two balls?
I mean, he didn't mean to be an asshole. Patrick Mahomes just said throw to him.
Devontae Adams was saved by a touchdown last week. He caught 2 for 12. It happens.
Fuck, Josh Palmer was saved.
And if you think Hardman, who sucks, we can all say that officially now. Mm-hmm. He's not going to get the targets. MVS can't catch a ball, and Sky Moore isn't ready.
It doesn't seem like MVS can separate in this offense. I don't know if it's because everyone's playing the two high safeties and he can't take the top off or what's going on. But
him and Juju will figure it out.
As long as Travis Kelce doesn't get power bombed anymore, I'm good.
Right on. I'm glad that he was a good sport about it, talking about it.
No, that was
podcast with his brother. It was pretty funny. Mike, let's jump over to the Colts. You know, you're starting Jonathan Taylor, you're starting Michael Pittman if he's healthy, but man, oh man, Mike, we saw what this offense looked like last week with an old washed up Matt Ryan with no weapons whatsoever. But
if
with
you
Michael
see me, I was choking. Ryan did last week.
If Michael Pittman is back, this is more of like a football question. Can Matt Ryan support this offense well enough to win games, man?
Absolutely. That was the first thing I said. Not really a fantasy question. Well, let me give you some fantasy knowledge with it, though.
Sure, you
know,
sure. Go ahead.
Because I do believe he can lead to some wins. You know, he's going to get some W's here. He just needs people to be healthy. I mean, for the most part, this defense is not healthy. That doesn't have anything to do with fantasy. But we saw last week, Michael Pittman wasn't healthy. I mean, that was just one player. But that one player, Pittman...
Derailed everything.
Exactly. Pittman in week one had 121 receiving yards and a touchdown. All right. You know, that's pretty mundane. That's it's a mundane, you know, like you expect more, but 121 yards and a touchdown. Fuck yeah.
That's good.
Week two, all total of the wide receivers had 126 yards, only 5 more than Michael Pittman in week one.
So it happens when you lose your talented receiver.
Exactly. So
and
if Pittman's healthy,
Ashlyn Doolin and stuff.
Yeah, who was the leading receiver?
Yeah.
But I mean, if Pittman's healthy, I like Matt Ryan as a QB2, you know, this year. That nothing more, but he's a good super flex play if Pittman's healthy. If Pittman's not healthy, we've seen it. You bench his ass.
Yep. For sure. 100%. We got a quick question here. I have RB death. Should I drop Jeff Wilson Jr. for Zamir White? I'm just gonna answer
no.
for all of us and go ahead and say no.
I mean, if it's Dynasty, yeah. I like that for Dynasty. Exactly. That's the thing.
For sure.
But that's the only concept or only way it would be possible. You keep Jeff Wilson.
Go ahead and get into the next game we got here. The Buffalo Bills at the Miami Dolphins. A little excited about this game. Yeah, totally should. Ike, I'll let
especially with a lot of the Bills' secondary.
Yep. Poyer, Davis White.
Mm-hmm. So Ike, cool. let's talk this Bills backfield, and I'll let you take it wherever you want to here.
I don't really want to talk about him.
Okay.
Devin Singletary is barely startable in 12-team leagues. He's getting, barely under 10 opportunities a game. It was nice to see James Cook get 15 carries.
Hey, that's better than ETN right now.
Big time. But, James Cook got most of that probably when they're in the blowout. So Zach Moss, you can miss me with that. You don't need to start him at all. So
you can miss me.
I don't like it. Devin Singletary, you got own obviously, or Ross.
I mean, let's be honest. The RB1 in this offense is Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm. Devin Singletary.
No, they're just like throwing.
Devin Singletary or Cam Akers, like.
Devin Singletary.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit more trustworthy because you saw Cam Akers week one not get much. You saw it in week two. I mean, who's to say he doesn't get it in week three again?
I got to make that decision in one of my leagues, and I'm leaning Singletary myself.
Is it PPR, half PPR?
Full PPR.
Devin Singletary.
Yeah. Ike, I'm going to stay with you here. Gabe Davis was a surprise scratch last week when he took a non-contact ankle injury in the walkthrough on Saturday, I believe. I think that came out.
That's weird. Press pedal.
Oh, no. does that worry you heading into this game? Like, are you nervous that he could go out and play and just kind of throw up a dud for you? Because either A, he's a decoy, or B, he re-injures that ankle?
Well, I mean, Gabe Davis can put up a dud any week, possibly, because he's pretty boom or bust. So add in an ankle injury.
But he's not the guy who Xavier Howard's going to be draped all over all day. That's going to be
you act like Stephon Diggs isn't going to cook Xavier Howard.
He's going to. He's totally going to. That's a nasty dude right now, man.
Dude's a bad
man. He's out to prove a point. And he's got a damn good quarterback.
Yeah, he's like this young Jamar Chase retired, and he's better than me.
No, not today.
No.
Mike, we're going to go ahead. Go ahead.
Rest of career, I take Jamar Chase. But, that's an argument for a different day.
Or Dynasty or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mike, moving on to the Dolphins now. We got to talk to backfield here.
Pew, pew, pew.
Edmonds lead the backfield the first week. And then we saw Mostert out-touch him by quite a decent amount, which is a little sketchy. What do you think about this backfield, and how do you see it shaking out this week?
Ah, man. Right, we talked about this before the season started. This backfield was going to be a hot hand approach. I mean, and we saw last week, Mostert was that hot hand. Maybe, we see Edmonds pull a Miles Gaskin last year and only be relevant on odd numbered weeks because, you know, he went off in week one. Maybe he goes off in week three and then, you know, he takes a break week four, week five, you know. But maybe Mostert's the even numbered guy. I mean, this is what this offense is. It's going to be a hot handed approach. Whoever is doing the best on the field in the matchup is going to be the guy. I feel safer with Edmonds going the rest of the season because we've seen Mostert. I mean, when was the last time he finished a full season? 2018, 17. I mean, we saw it. I mean,
supposed to be the the receiving back.
Yeah,
exactly. But that was Mostert last week.
Yeah, who knows?
So, in total, they both have the same amount of targets on the year. It's just one got him in week one, one got him in week two. So it is that formal hot hand approach. So you just got to kind of hope Edmonds is the guy that week.
If you own both of them, who are you starting out of the two and you're forced to?
I'm taking a risk and I'm going to go with the bullshit Miles Gaskin thing I pulled up, and I'm playing Edmonds on odd weeks and I'm playing Mostert on even weeks.
You idiot.
If you don't want to be ballsy like me, hey, it happened once, it can happen again. Precedence. If you don't want to be ballsy like me, you go with Edmonds.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And then just the last thing, I mean, I'm pretty sure we're all starting Jalen Waddle. We're all starting Tyreek Hill. But what about Mike Gesicki? Mike, we saw him catch, I think, four passes last week, and he did find his way into the end zone. Has he worked his way back into top 10 tight end status?
I think he needs to work more on his dancing after he scores that touchdown, because no, I am not trusting Gesicki.
It's the best grid in the world, bro.
No, it wasn't. Oh my gosh, he looked like he was. What's it? What's that dance where they
looked like he was skiing?
They squat and then kick their legs out. It almost looked like that.
The Irish jig.
Thank you, the Irish jig. Yes,
he's the best country skiing, man.
But no, I'm not trusting Gesicki. He was still on the field less than Durham Smythe, the other tight end for this team. I mean, granted, only about 3%, 55.7 to 52.7. Last week was just such a high-scoring game. He benefited from catching a touchdown. He got four targets last week. That's good. That's great. He has five total on the year.
Yeah.
You can't trust him. Sorry.
Yep. I don't trust him. Starting Evan Ingram over him again in Scott Fishbowl. Like,
unfortunately, I have to start Evan Ingram over Dalton Schultz this week just because of the uncertainty.
Hell yeah, man. Let's go. next game we got here, Detroit Lions at the Minnesota Vikings. Nice divisional matchup here. Like, Jared Goff has been very solid. Wrote about him in my Start Sit article, and I like him in this matchup. Will this continue?
I mean, it seems
way to get
be,
right to the point.
Seems to be the trend lately. I mean, since Amon Ross started taking off, Goff has as well, and he's been averaging over 21 fantasy points a game. Obviously, he's had some duds in there, but still averaging 21 points a game is pretty solid.
And the volume has just been there too, my dude. You know what I mean? Like, he's thrown it 35, 37 times. And we're talking about earlier, Justin Fields throwing it 11 times. This fucking motherfucker's Jared Goff over here just chucking it all over the field. We can't call him that anymore. He's earned a little bit more respect, I think, from us.
Until he learns where the sun rises and it sets, I'm calling him Goof.
All right, fair enough. Ike, and then I just want to ask you about his pass catchers. Are you starting any other pass catcher besides Amon-Ra St. Brown in this offense?
You have to start Hockenson.
Why? He's banged up. He's
averaging seven targets a game.
Right, but he's not producing with him.
Who do you want to start instead of him?
Gerald Everett.
No, on this offense.
What are the chances you have Gerald Everett too is with Hockenson?
Not very good.
Chances are you drafted Hockenson, so you don't have to worry about tight end.
But Everett might be on the waiver wire, and Hockenson is banged up this week. You don't think
Gerald Everett should not be on the waiver wire, which I keep writing about. And like I'll keep saying, drop this tight end for Gerald Everett, and he's still under 50%. So
it's
crazy,
right? So he is out on the waiver wire, Ike. That's what I'm telling you.
But for the guy who has Hockenson, unlikely.
I get
the dude who probably has
Sorry, LaPlante. Hold on.
Kittle has him.
I'm not dropping Hockenson for Gerald Everett, but with him banged up, I have no problem starting Everett over him this week until Hockenson starts.
Not with Herbert injured.
If
Herbert plays, we're playing him.
You're not starting Evan Ingram over him.
No.
Okay. So that's like tight end 13 right there, pretty much.
But the 14. Question was, are you starting any other pass catchers besides ASB on this offense? We're talking about this offense. And he did answer the question because you would take Hockenson. You're not starting DJ Chark. You're not starting, Jameson Williams isn't even playing. Who else are you starting? What the hell is his name? Josh Reynolds? You starting Josh Reynolds? Yeah, no. Yeah,
possibly.
No, I'm starting Hockenson.
I'm kidding. I hear you. I don't love Hockenson this week, man.
Oh, man.
But, Mike, jumping over to the Vikings now. Delvin Cook, like we've talked about these running backs, man, struggling. Are we going to panic on Delvin Cook a little bit or no?
I'm not panicking just yet, no. Kevin O'Connell came out in the media, said, we know we got to get Delvin Cook more involved in this offense, especially after last week getting embarrassed against the Eagles. Delvin Cook is still on the field 73% of the time, and I expect that to go up, considering Adam Thielen's been on the field 95% of the time. I think it's just this offense is now converting to a more of a pass, friendly offense, and they kind of forgot about Dalvin Cook a little bit in the beginning here. They're going to still involve him. I mean, even when it was this passing offense, Dalvin Cook still got 11 targets through two games. We love that. It's the rushing attempts we don't like. So, I'm a smidge worried, but that old term, oil the squeaky wheel. Kevin O'Connell came out and said it, that, we're going to get Cook more involved here. So I got to take his word for it, especially after a loss. He's not Arthur Smith. He's not going to continue to use Kyle Pitts in a stupid fashion.
we'll get to that later. But did Kevin O'Connell come out and happen to say anything about maybe getting Adam Thielen, KJ Osborne, Irv Smith?
No, unfortunately not.
Involved in this offense or no? Because Thielen's been a dud so far. KJ Osborne's
gonna be
probably droppable at this point, I think.
Oh, yeah.
what are you thinking?
Adam Thielen, you can't drop yet.
No, I
still
agree.
Has 11 targets through two games. But it's obvious Justin Jefferson is the Cooper Kupp of this offense. He's the number one guy. I don't know if you can drop KJ Osborne yet unless you have to. Because here's the thing. He is a great handcuff wide receiver. Just like a Tyler Boyd. Great handcuff wide receiver in case the injury goes down. Now the Bengals, I know, are struggling, but the Minnesota passing offense is not struggling. So if, Adam Thielen does go down, which I probably expect him to miss a few games, Osborne's going to be relevant.
Yeah, well,
I'd rather have Sterling Shepard.
No, stop using that comparison.
You love him.
He got 10 targets last week.
Yeah, from Daniel Jones. Who else from is Daniel Jones.
Who else is
I don't care to? Who else he's going to throw to. Daniel Jones is not good at throwing the ball.
Neither is fucking half say Kirk? The league.
You're going to say Kirk Cousins, the one who's throwing these guys the ball?
If it's prime time, yeah.
Yeah, it's prime time. I'll give you that. Quick little nugget for you. Kirk on Monday night, 2-10.
Brutal. Brutal. But jumping over to the next game, guys, we got the Baltimore Ravens at the New England Patriots. Ike, I'm going to start with you here. And let's talk the Ravens backfield. I'm not 100% sure if Dobbins is going to play. I know he's been practicing all week. He practiced last week as well. But are you starting any of these guys?
No. None of them have proven enough to even be starter worthy. Unless you're in a deep league like, hell, 14 or 16, go for it. But even if Dobbins is back, I wouldn't start him either, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not 14, until you see what he does. And Dobbins is playing, you're probably playing Dobbins. But 12 team, if you can afford to wait and see, like you'd start Devin Singletary over him, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
Over Dobbins?
Yeah, yes. LaPlay at you too.
Yeah, just for sure. This week.
Yeah,
yeah, I want to see what he does.
Yeah, for sure. And then Ike, the wide receivers here. Rashad Bateman has been propped up by 2 log touchdowns the past 2 weeks. And last week I saw he got up to like 21, 22 miles an hour. And then he said earlier this week that even that surprised him. Can we see this production continue?
Turns out he's just like Marquise Brown was the past 2 years, huh?
Literally, just a better player. He's better. He's a better player than Marquise Brown, I think, man. Already.
It's possible.
I mean, I don't know about Marquise, already, but I think potentially, yes.
Hell, Marquise Brown came on the scene and caught 2 touchdowns right away or whatever it was with Lamar. So, I mean, I don't think he's going to be getting the targets you want. You're after relying on touchdowns, obviously, so.
Like, do you not remember flex worthy? The Ravens don't pass a lot?
He's flex worthy for sure. Yeah. He seems to find
I think he deserves to be a wide receiver 3, and I know LaPlante and I kind of whiffed on our buddy Sean asking if he should start Bateman last week, and we kind of told him maybe shy away.
I mean, yes and no, because that day was salvaged by that long touchdown, and those are about 3. As impossible to predict. Yeah, those are about as impossible to predict as touchdowns in general. So, yes, we made the whiff in totality, but, I mean, without that touchdown, we were correct.
Yeah, I agree. Now you jump on over to the Patriots, Mike. Not a very excited team. But let's talk the backfield here. I saw Damien Harris go down with a leg injury. I think that popped up on the injury report. Stevenson's kind of been disappointing. Harris has been good when he's been on the field. Mike, have you heard anything on that leg injury? Has he been practicing? What are you thinking?
I have not heard anything recently. I have to look it up here. Let me get to the Patriots real quick because I need to check because I'm using CBS now. They are pretty good with updating them up to the date. New England. There we go. I'm not even seeing him on the injury report, believe it or not.
That's good news for Harris owners. That is good probably news. Probably not great news for Stevenson owners.
No, not good news for Stevenson owners because that's exactly what I was going to talk about. Damien Harris is the guy here. He's getting majority of the work. He's got 29 carries to Stevenson's 20. I mean, not even carries. 29 total touches to Stevenson's 20 total touches. But the odd thing here is Stevenson is actually leads these two in snaps played 56% to 40. Actually, 56 total to 49 for Damien Harris. But they both have seen about the same amount of targets through 2 games. So, I mean, it's kind of an odd situation here. But, you know, where the passing game, they're even. The snaps, you know, Stevenson outweighs him by a smidge, 7%. I still want Damien Harris because he's going to get majority of the touches even when he's on the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's
go ahead.
I was just going to say, as of right now, Stevenson, I think, needs to be benched until he gets a little bit more usage.
he needs to start getting the passing down work. Seeing him and Harris be close with targets or being the same
targets, Harris, same through 2 weeks.
That's crazy, man. That's not how it's supposed to be. I know Ty Montgomery was there for week one and he's now on IR, but we'll see how this.
Oh, my apologies. Damian Harris actually has one more target than Ramondre Stevenson. It's 5-4.
Interesting, man. I don't love it. But then, should any pass catcher in this offense be started this week, Mike? I know Jacoby Myers has been all right. Devontae Parker's completely laid a dud. Hunter Henry's, he's the same guy, touchdown dependent guy. What do you think?
I mean, you nailed it right on the head. It's just Jacoby Myers. That's the only one we can trust right now. And it's mainly PPR. Half point PPR, you know, I'm a little more skeptical. He's more of a flex play. But PPR, he's a solid wide receiver 3, you know, just because of the volume. 19 targets through 2 games, 8 more than the next wide receiver, which is Nelson Agholor. Parker is touchdown dependent. Agholor is, you know, the deep guy who is, you know, deep ball dependent. If he doesn't catch that deep ball, he's not going to be relevant. So it's Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, I agree. Ike, are you starting Jacoby Myers if he's healthy this week?
Mm-hmm.
Right on.
He's getting a lot of targets.
Yeah, a lot.
Next game we got here, the Cincinnati Bengals at the New York Jets. Ike, is this the get-right game for the Bengals offense?
I hope so. They need it really bad, but...
we're all hope so.
This could be another game that sneaks up on them. This Jets defense is a little bit more talented than anybody thought. They're top 12 in sacks. So, I mean, that's something to worry about. That's
interesting. Yeah, Bengals. Man.
So
the Bengals' offensive line, like I said last week, just doesn't seem to have gelled yet. Like, it's definitely – they added more talent to it, but they still can't keep Burrow upright, and it's kind of sketchy.
It's definitely something to – be nervous about, I feel like.
Yeah.
Sure. Speaking about being nervous, well, let me get the question out, jerk. Any worry about Mixon's pass game work?
Not even remotely. I saw, okay. Thanks to Player Profiler, he is averaging, well, let me get this up, 6.5 targets, which is fourth. He's eighth in target share. First in routes ran at running back.
And this is strictly RBs, correct?
Yes.
This is strictly RBs.
Plus fifth in route participation. So there is absolutely no worry for him in the receiving game. It seems that he's actually getting it finally in his career. He's also number one in complete opportunities. So, yeah, fire him up at not worry.
The problem with this offense is they actually probably need to pass a little bit less. They've been passing too much through 2 games, I think. They need to establish the run more.
Which is something they did last year when they were easing Burrow back in from his knee injury, which you might be onto something there, Mike, actually. I don't like telling you that, but that was actually nice idea.
I play Mike, Madden.
Oh, yuck.
That was a joke.
Mike, let's jump over to the Jets now. Can we streak Flacco on this one? He's been pretty good.
Man, this was a tough one. Flacco leads the league in passing attempts. Straight
fantastic.
Up.
Just does. You think Zach Wilson comes in and leads the league in passing attempts?
No.
Okay. They're hoping Breece Hall can figure it out by then, probably.
I mean, Mitch Trubisky has as many passing attempts as Flacco through 3 games as 2.
Yeah.
So the volume is there, but the efficiency is not there, guys. It's only 6 yards an attempt. That's disgusting. Flacco's 5 touchdowns through the air rank 8th in the league. This is what's holding him up. This is what's propping him up right now. The volume is nice, but the touchdowns are what's kind of making him relevant.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't trust Flacco in 10 teamers, but anything deeper than that, I do see a certain amount of appeal as a flex play, as like a super flex play or like 12 or 14, you know, teams. Only because the Bengals defense just allowed Cooper Rush to get 235 passing yards and a touchdown. And I think, I mean, I like Cooper Rush, but I think Joe Flacco is a little bit better than Cooper Rush.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And let's jump over to the wide receivers here. Garrett Wilson versus Elijah Moore this week, Mike. Who you got?
Ike's going to love me. It's Garrett Wilson. Nice. He's getting the majority of the volume here, and what pushes me over the edge here is the fact that, and I know Ike is on top of this, Garrett Wilson has 8 red zone targets. All right. Now, this could be attributed to the volume.
That's hot.
It is hot. This could be, attributed to the, to the volume, you know, with Joe Flacco. But this is 6 more than Elijah Moore. So he's getting the overall volume, and he's getting the red zone targets over Elijah Moore. So it's Garrett Wilson moving forward until Elijah Moore gets a little bit more involved. And just a little nugget here, those 8 red zone targets lead the league. He has 2 more than Ja'Marr Chase right now at 6.
Interesting, man. Interesting. And then I'm just going to throw this at both of you guys real quick. Just give me 10 seconds at it. Breece Hall, Michael Carter. Ike, start with you. Who you got?
Michael Carter.
It's Michael Carter as well.
Interesting.
I'm sure it's going to – you asked me this a couple weeks from now, it's going to be probably Breece Hall, but right now it's Michael Carter.
We'll see. We'll see. Next game we got here, the Las Vegas Raiders at the Tennessee Titans. Ike, starting with you here. Let's talk Josh Jacobs. Should he be started in let's go with 12.
he's going to be out.
Nothing wrong with Chase here, Juan. Nothing wrong with him. Just giving you a little stat.
Josh Jacobs ain't even playing, so we don't have to talk about it.
Oh, really? I missed that.
Yeah, that's why everyone's talking about Zamir White.
Interesting. Oh, man, I'm going to have to double-check that. Because I saw Hunter Renfro was ruled out.
Yes, I saw Hunter Renfro, too. He's not on the team playing, huh?
You're throwing this shit at me all last second.
Well, now I look like a jackass, but, well, let's talk Zamir White, that pal. Now you get to look like a jackass.
Don't want to start him, so no, let's not talk him. Why would you start him in his first career game?
You know, because we've seen this before, man. Like, if Dalvin Cook gets injured, you start Alexander Mattison.
I have to interrupt here. Where did you see that Josh Jacobs didn't make the flight? Because the latest update I have was 5 hours ago, and it was status in question for Sunday because of an illness.
It was literally Bleacher Report guy.
I get all the updates, man. That's why I'm like, how did you sneak this fucker by me? I don't see it. So I'm going as Josh Jacobs is playing. Granted, it looks like a game time decision with the illness.
Yeah, he's it's
right there. He's 5 hours ago, bro. Josh Jacobs isn't traveling.
I don't know. But that. LaPlaya, what do you think about Zamir White then? Do you think he's starter worthy if Josh Jacobs doesn't play?
Yeah, I do. The volume for Josh Jacobs made him at least a flex play, you know, low RB2. But if Zamir White plays, we saw it in week one. Devontae Adams gets tackled at the 1-yard line. Zamir White can easily salvage a day by a touchdown. And if he gets the volume, maybe he breaks off a couple big ones, you know, maybe gets about 80 yards and a touchdown. So I do like Zamir White here if Josh Jacobs is out. But that's the only way.
Sure. I've got a trade question here. London for A.J. Dillon. My RB3 is J.D. McKissick, but my wide receiver 5 is Myers Godwin. So it looks like you can afford to trade London. I'm going to be very clear here. I don't want to trade London right now. I think dude's be looking like the alpha in that offense, and I hate to say that because I have a lot of shares of Kyle Pitts. But to get A.J. Dillon, he's also somebody I love. And where you're at with running backs with J.D. McKissick as your RB3, I would do that trade, I think. But I think London's going to end up being a stud.
Agreed.
You can't call him a stud. He's got Mariota throwing him the ball. Yeah, he had one good week. It looks good. I mean, it's obviously London and Pitts here. I do see a readjustment for Pitts, and I know you like hearing that, Dylan. So I wouldn't trade London for A.J. Dillon right now, but...
Not even with his running back situation, huh? And you're king running back over here.
His RB3 is J.D. McKissick. Yeah, it's not great. But it could be worse. That could be your RB2. Dylan, name you off your RB1 and RB2 right now in our home league.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Travis Etienne, Damian Harris, Daryl Henderson.
I bet you that his RB1 and RB2 are better than those. So if he was in your situation, yeah, you go and trade for AJ Dillon in that situation where you need a solid, safe RB. But no, I say you keep London.
Interesting. Right on.
I know you disagree with me in your situation.
Let's jump back to the Titans. Are you starting to worry
about Derek Henry? Yeah, see, he's got Saquon and Monty. You don't need to trade London.
Yeah, for sure. Because he knows Saquon. Yeah, go ahead. Are you worried about Henry?
Yes. So, yeah, unfortunately. I hate saying it. It's a little bit yes. He just lost his best old lineman, Taylor Lewan, for a couple games, maybe more. Last year, Henry had a snap percentage of 71.7%. You know, that was third for all RBs. Now he's 19th on the year for snap percentage for RBs. That's a huge motherfucking difference. If the Titans are playing from behind, like they have been through 2 weeks, this is how that, you know, percentage is probably going to stick around. So I do have worries about him finishing as that top five RB that we know he can finish as, even if he's healthy. But he's also eighth in the league in carries right now when, you know, he's normally first.
Mm-hmm.
It's the game script. If the Titans can get in a better game script, Derrick Henry will get more involved. But until then, I am worried.
Yeah, I agree. I'm worried as well. That positive game script probably isn't coming here anytime soon because I think they stink. But if you had to start one pass catcher from this offense, who are you starting?
Gun to my head, it's Treylon Burks, but I really don't want to start any, you know, pass catching option from this offense. If you have other options, please try and stay away from this passing game. It's averaging 194 passing yards a game. Burks is the ceiling here. You know, being the rookie, we don't know, you know, what his ceiling is. It's going to be a little bit more than Robert Woods right now coming off that ACL. But speaking of Woods, he needs to step it up to be considered a flex option right now because he's only worth a bench play right now. I mean, you could possibly probably cut him depending on who the waiver who is out on the waiver wire.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not starting. I don't want to start any of those guys. I do have to start Treylon Burks at a few spots. It's not great. Definitely not great. Next game we got here, Philadelphia Eagles at the Washington Commanders. Ike, can we start to trust Miles Sanders each week?
He's getting there. He's definitely, I mean, shit, right now he's an RB2 pretty much. And Washington's just been getting gashed. Granted, Lions have the best offensive line, it seems like, but still, Eagles have a pretty solid offensive line as well.
Well, why is Washington's defense stink all of a sudden?
Who knows?
I mean, Chase Young isn't in. That could probably help.
Possible.
I hear you, but still, their defensive line still supposed to be the strength of their team. I get miss Chase Young, but
their linebackers are brutal.
Yeah, I suppose. But like, how about Devonta Smith now? We saw him not catch a ball the first week, but last week he is very efficient, caught all seven of his passes, and he's actually my start wide receiver this week.
I saw that and I was surprised.
How you feel about him?
I just think, like I said, actually at the start of the year, all three, him, Brown, and Goddard are all going to have a tough time producing every week. There's going to be an odd man out more than likely every week. And I have a feeling it might be Devontae Smith, but based off last week, it could be Dallas Goddard some weeks too. I don't see A.J. Brown constantly putting up two catches for, 20 yards or whatever.
Right.
I see him being the main guy still. So I would still have some worry for Devontae Smith.
I think they wanted to make a point to try to get the ball in Devonta Smith's hands this week after him kind of having a clunker the first one.
So it might come back down a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And I wish I had this pulled up, but I wish I'd assume Dallas Goedert's still going to see some red zone work that should keep him relevant, you know, most weeks too. But I tend to agree. I'm not sure all three of them can be good each week.
Mm-hmm.
But I like Devonta Smith in this matchup. Like I said, the Commanders' defense is kind of definitely not been great and been picked apart by Trevor Lawrence and Jared Goff. So,
hey, you put some respect behind Lawrence, but Goff, yeah, whatever.
Mike, jumping over to the Commanders now. Antonio Gibson or nah?
Nah. Yes, but I'm tempering expectations here. Gibson's rushing workload in week two was cut because of the Commanders being down the whole game. It's a matter of game script here for Gibson to get the rushing workload. McKissick saw 7 targets to Gibson's 4 in week two, but week one, we saw Gibson get 8 targets to McKissick's 3. Yeah. So, I mean, it seems like they're going to be using the Gibson, going to be using Gibson in the passing game a little bit more this year, but it doesn't seem to be at a more consistent basis. So you do play Gibson based on the volume, but you temper the expectations on that ceiling because of that passing game.
Yeah. He was actually my sit guy in my article this week, Mike. I think
Devin Singletary or Antonio Gibson. That seems to be our barometer
The Dolphins. That's actually really close for me, and that's probably not close in the rankings because I think Gibson's like running back 15 and Singletary is probably 26 ish. But yeah, that's close for me. I think I'd lean Antonio Gibson there. But yeah, Mike.
So that's why you go Gibson. You don't like it, but you got to do it.
Yeah, like he's kind of alluded to, he is a little bit game script dependent, with his volume on the ground. And they're probably going to be down in this game as well. That's why I don't like him. It's Philadelphia.
But you still can see passing work because we saw
it. He could. I wouldn't bank on it. But all right, pal. We see Dotson catch 3 touchdowns in 2 weeks. Can we trust him heading into week 3?
I think so. Dotson leads his league in snap. Leads his team in snap percentage with 93% of the snaps played. It's second to Carson Wentz. You know, he's only seen 5 targets in each game, so a total of 10, which is, you know, third on the team. But he's still on the field, and just like I said earlier, if he's out running a route, he's going to score a large amount. He seems to be one of Wentz's favorite targets in the red zone. Him and Curtis Samuel both have 2 red zone targets. They lead the wide receiving core. And, you know, those 2 plus 2 red zone targets, those are 4 red zone targets. They both have, they all have total of 4 touchdowns. So they've caught each of the red zone targets here. So I do think Dotson here is a trust in the flex position as of right now.
Yeah.
Just like Curtis Samuel.
Tend to agree a little bit, man. We got a couple questions here. Curtis Samuel, Christian Kirk, Michael Thomas, pick one. Christian Kirk for me.
Yeah.
Make this quick, guys. We'll play at you.
It is Christian Kirk.
And then we got one more. Keep it quick. Tyler Lockett, Damian Pierce, full PPR. With a full PPR there, I think I lead Tyler Lockett, I suppose.
I lean Damian Pierce here in hopes he gets a little. I lean Damian Pierce in hopes he gets a little bit more passing game work here. It can't be Rex Burkhead the whole year, guys. Tyler Lockett's going to be even more inconsistent than when Russell Wilson was there.
Yeah. Next game we got here on the docket: Jacksonville Jaguars at the Los Angeles Chargers. I can start with you. Talk me through the backfield here in Jacksonville.
James Do you Robinson, need therapy? You gotta start. If you own Travis Etienne, I'm sorry. I'm sure you guys aren't feeling too well right now, especially where you drafted him. He's literally getting maybe 10 opportunities a game, if that. So it's time to start worrying on him and thinking about benching him for sure.
Let me play a little bit of devil's advocate here. Do you think him not getting any production last week is attributed to them going up 24-0?
He should have got more carries. If they're up by so much, why'd he get?
Why are you going to give ETN the ball? Why don't you? Well, you're going to give the ball to the grinder, is what I'm saying. We knew coming in that ETN's not going to get. Don't you want to get him
back into the fix of things? Why are you going to give 25 carries to a dude who tore his Achilles and not the guy who's coming back from Lisfranc injury to only 5 carries? And he was for 10 yards, so he's not doing very good with it.
Because they were up by 24, and they didn't need to use their young guy that was coming off a Lisfranc injury. Let's use the guy who came off an Achilles injury that's probably not a part of the future.
Who is also young, 2 years older, if that, than Etienne?
But he's undrafted. But he's undrafted. They don't have anything tied to him. It's just I'm not 100% panicking on ETN yet, and I'm probably still starting him because I can't quit him. To be honest with you.
Well, I mean, you have no choice.
I do.
Other people might have a choice.
Stop saying that before.
Devin Singletary or Travis Etienne?
Travis Etienne.
Singletary.
I think I lean Singletary this week.
Okay. We'll see.
More work.
Because here's what I got. Here's what I want to know.
Jacksonville's going to get their ass kicked, man.
Here's what I want to know.
You're going to see Etienne get fucking 6 to 8 targets.
Or you're going to see Robinson get that.
Singletary's been the barometer this week.
Did he get more targets than Etienne last week?
My God. Because he's on the field more. I just told you that. Because they were up 24 to nothing.
It's weird that he's on the field more than Etienne.
You want to be on the field. You want to be on the field.
You want the guy who's on the field.
Okay, so is Jacksonville going to be winning every game, Mike?
No.
Why not?
If they're getting their ass kicked, why is James Robinson going to be on the field more than Travis Etienne is my point.
He probably won't.
Etienne has to work his way in the offense. Right now, he hasn't shown shit to get in there. He's dropped 2 balls for a touch. Well, one was overthrown.
He does have a valid point because Doug Peterson did show that he did not trust Etienne after that first week when he dropped those 2 catches. He went straight to Robinson. So there is a trust factor there with Peterson. He's not going to just full-on give Etienne the workload if he can't show that he can do it.
Right, but I'm saying you guys are acting like this has been Robinson's backfield since week one when Etienne outsnapped Robinson week one. Robinson outsnapped Etienne that much because they were leading so much.
Robinson's just benefited Etienne off of touchdowns.
Exactly, and touches because he's on the field and they're running the clock out and grinding it out. That's my point. But we can move on. I'm kind of curious to hear your thoughts on the wide receiver core here with Christian Kirk just going absolutely bananas, man. Zay Jones seeing some targets. Marvin Jones, you know, out there doing his thing. What are you thinking here?
Kirk, is blowing me away. He is a lot better than I thought he was. Seems like Trevor Lawrence loves the guy. So as for the two Joneses,
I'm glad you're enjoying it, Juan.
Good luck figuring out one to play.
Yeah,
we thought Zay Jones was the guy because he got 9 targets. That was one game. Whoop-de-doo. Next game, he got 5 or whatever, he had 1 less than Marvin Jones. So I don't know. You can't
need
start
more
either
of that for my best ball shares of Marvin Jones.
That's where they're good at. Zay Jones and Marvin Jones, good at best ball for sure.
I think Zay Jones is your guy that's going to most likely have more yards than Marvin Jones on a week to week basis. But I think Marvin Jones has the potential here to maybe have more touchdowns than Zay Jones at the end of the year, just because of that safety blanket for Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I could see that, man. Mike, let's jump over to the Chargers now. You know, Eckler hasn't really been as good as we saw him last year. I mean, who would have thought he's probably not going to score 20 touchdowns this year?
Who would have thought? Regression and all that.
But he's not even really getting the red zone touches. I don't think he's gotten a red zone carry yet. I think it's only really been Sony Michel.
I think that's what Joe put in the
thing. Which is weird considering Eckler had like 12 rushing touchdowns last year. But are you worried about Eckler?
No, because Eckler does have red zone rushing attempts. It's just inside the 20. It's just not inside the 5 like we saw last year that he got all of a sudden. I'm a little worried here. Yes, you know, because he has stated himself he doesn't want the full workload like players like CMC, Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor. You know, they're using him about 5% less on snaps this year compared to last year, 61 to 56. So he's not exactly a volume play on the ground, but believe it or not, he's tied with Mike Williams and Gerald Everett with 14 targets on the year for the most targets on this team. So he is heavily involved in this passing game, and that can help him just become a little bit more consistent week in and week out. He just might not have that ceiling we saw last year getting those 20 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He's still going to be safe.
I agree. And then Josh Palmer kind of saved by a touchdown last week after him and Herbert didn't look like they had much of a connection to start the game. Can you trust him this week?
I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't trust him last week. I threw him in there on a hope and a whim in my home league. And thankfully, he salvaged it with a touchdown, considering Keenan Allen being out. But if Keenan Allen's healthy, even if he's a decoy, I don't think I'm playing Palmer this week. I think the equation for Palmer to succeed, you need two of the three main guys out for Los Angeles. Mike Williams, Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen. If you get two of those three guys out, Josh Palmer is going to be a consistent week in and week out threat. But until, you know, two of those guys are out, he's going to be a boom or bust play.
Mm-hmm. Then moving over to the other team from Los Angeles, we got the Los Angeles Rams at the Arizona Cardinals. Ike, starting with you, Akers or Henderson? And go.
If I had to choose, I'd probably go Henderson for this week. That's a tough
question.
But it's really becoming a true 50-50 where every week someone new is going to be involved, and I don't want anything to do with it. So clearly you're probably going to have to start one of them. Chances are you're going to be disappointed by it. So I'd say
gun to your head. I was going to say gun to your head. It's Henderson.
Henderson. Yeah,
this was weird, man. This backfield, because these guys don't have specific roles. Like they both do the same fucking things. It seems like gain about 3 yards per carry.
They just kind of plot around
into the back of the line. Yeah, it's really what it is, man.
It's another hot hand approach. It seems like.
Yeah, which is weird from McVay. It's you don't really see that. A whole lot. But I want to talk to you about Tyler Higbee and the targets he's seeing, because I think you're starting Cooper Kupp. I'm hoping we're back to starting Allen Robinson after him catching the touchdown last week. I think that eases fantasy owner's mind a little bit. Does Higbee need to be started every week in, like, let's say 10-team leagues? Like, is he top 10 tight end weekly?
Yes. He's averaging 10 targets a game,
How much did it hurt you to say that?
It hurt me because I had him ranked at the start of the season, not much lower than that, but decently lower than that. So not thrilled about it, but he's definitely becoming a starter for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely
reluctantly.
Keep an eye on. Yep. And then Mike, jumping over to the Cardinals, man. I know I'm worried a little bit here as a Kyler owner in the one league I do own him in. Are you worried about him in this matchup against the Rams?
Don't be worried, Dylan. I know the Rams has had
the Rams,
I know the Rams have had Murray's number in the past, all right? But this is not the Rams defense that won the Super Bowl last year. I mean, we just saw Mariota almost come back against them. And Mariota is like a big step down from Kyler Murray. I mean, he was allowed to get 17 of 26 passing attempts for 196 yards, 2 touchdowns and 2 picks. Yeah, it doesn't look good from a box score perspective. But they almost won the damn game.
Yeah.
If Mariota is, you know, skilled enough to stay in the game with the Rams, I know it's, you know, a divisional game, but we saw what Kyler Murray can do. This guy is a dual threat. We saw that, what was it, a 12-second scamper?
Yeah, that was silly last week.
To get that touchdown to tie it up again, to try and tie it up against the Raiders last week. So to say that Murray is not, you know, above and beyond Mariota, and to think that he can't do more than 196 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 picks, plus add some rushing yards to it as well, I think this is finally the week Kyler Murray rights the wrong of those pass matchups.
And I hope you're right. And obviously you're starting James Conner if he's healthy and playing.
If he's
you're
healthy.
Marquise Brown, and you're starting Zach Ertz. I think that's a no-brainer
James
as well.
James Conner. There's too many James. James Conner is a game-time decision, so you will have to monitor that closely.
Yep, let's keep an eye on it. Next game we got here, and then, man, this is just a beauty. The Atlanta Falcons at the Seattle Seahawks, man. I can't wait.
You got to have one
lock into this game. You guys are coming over for football on Sunday, and we're having this game on one of the TVs. Just kidding. But
the Bears.
I guess let's talk about the backfield. I guess I know Cordero Patterson kind of struggled after we talked him up a little bit. We were a little bit excited after week one.
Patterson's kind of fallen down to like flex territory a little bit. He's not getting the receiving work that I thought he would. That's a little surprising. As for Tyler Allgeier, I can't say his name for some reason. Don't even think about starting him unless you're in a super deep league. I wouldn't even pick him up necessarily right now. But this backfield's heading towards a mess, just like the Rams, just like countless other teams, Dolphins.
Yeah, it's totally gross. And then Ike, Keith just brought it up here in the comments. Mariota is single-handedly killing Pitts. Not single-handedly, Keith, but he does have a hand in it.
It's the main factor, but I would say Drake London plays in a little bit here.
And I think his asshole coach is who's trying to win games. And if you missed my rant on the Last Call podcast last Sunday, I'm not going to do it again. I'm going to give the floor to Ike. Ike, what's your take on Kyle Pitts here?
He's consistent, consistently bad. I mean, 2 for 19 both times. So, I mean, you got that going for you. There's better days ahead. That's all I got to say for you. I mean, they can't get much worse than this unless he goose eggs, which I mean, I hope that doesn't happen, but
don't you dare put that in the universe.
Just believe that there are better days ahead and ride it out.
This has got to be the game. I think this is the better day, guys. Seattle. Who's Seattle covering? The answer is nobody. I'll answer it for you. It's nobody.
Quandre Diggs, their best cornerback, is most likely going to be out too.
Yeah, man. It's 100%. This is the matchup you want to play Kyle Pitts. I get it. You probably want to sit him because he's been an asshole, just like his asshole coach.
You can't. No, you can't. Yeah.
The hell are you going to sit him for?
Gerald Everett? No.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
No chance the dude who has Kyle Pitts is Gerald Everett.
You can't. You got to play Kyle Pitts one more week. 2 weeks is not enough of evidence.
Agreed. And he ran around on 90% of the snaps he played last week, which is good to see. That's a step up from the first week when they were using him more as an inline blocker.
Totally not relevant to fantasy football, but Albert Pujols just hit number 699 in Dodger Stadium.
Nice. One more away. Everyone's just throwing cookies down the middle of the plate for him. You got to love to see
it. I hope so.
Mike, let's jump over to Seattle, man. Just kind of gross, but let's talk about the backfield, I guess.
This whole matchup is gross.
Are you starting Ken Walker or Rashad Penny?
Oh, man. I kind of lost my whole notes here because it's such a bland game. If you had to start one in a pinch, it's Penny. But neither guy is really appealing in the against a team who's middle of the pack against the run, 15th best at defending the run. You know, only allowing about 108 yards a game. This beer is hitting me good, and I'm feeling it. And those 108 yards a game, those 108 yards a game, as we saw last week against the Rams, are not from one guy. That's a combined total 108 yards a game. So I wouldn't be shocked if Penny and, Penny and Walker. Blanking on his goddamn, thank you, Walker. Why did Hardman come to mind? This damn beer.
Because you're weird.
It's because you love Mecole Hardman for some reason.
I do. I loved him coming out of college. It was so stupid. He was a second round pick, guys.
That's because speaking of assholes, that's because you're always the stupid asshole who trades for the fastest guy on Madden. So you probably targeted Mecole Hardman and you just made him into a superstar. I'm sure.
You look me in the eyes right now and tell me speed doesn't kill.
No, it doesn't.
But if you had to start one, it's Penny.
I almost just did a brutal joke. Never mind.
if you had to start one, it's Penny, but I'm trying to avoid it either way. Like, let's use our barometer here. Devin Singletary. We start Devin Singletary or anybody out of this backfield? It's Singletary.
Yeah, I agree. If you're Ike, you're starting Singletary and Penny. LaPlante, let's just go try to keep
what
this.
Happens when you run mess.
Lockett or DK here?
I'm going to keep it simple here. You go with DK Metcalf here. Lockett will be just as inconsistent as years past, like I said, with Russell Wilson, but we don't have Wilson here. They're using DK more in like a PPR type of role this year, which is a little bit more encouraging from a volume aspect. He's not getting the A dot though. That is the one thing that is just killing his value. So he's not getting those long touchdowns or much of red zone attempts at all because this offense is just pretty much inept. But Carroll did kind of, you know, put the oil to the squeaky wheel here, saying that he was going to try to get DK Metcalf more deep ball attempts in the future. Let's just hope that comes to fruition with the PPR work.
Let's hope, man. Jumping over to the next game, we got the Green Bay Packers at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Ike, AJ Dillon was the man week one. Aaron Jones was the man week two. What do we expect for week three?
If it wasn't Tampa Bay, I would expect big things from both of them. But I think it could be a rough go for the Green Bay running backs this week. I could be wrong. But, temper your expectations. You still got to start them, but don't be expecting what you saw last week from Aaron Jones. Yeah,
what I think saves both of these guys is the targets that they're both seeing.
Yes.
You know, and AJ Dillon,
it is. It's not the rushing attempts.
Has more targets than Aaron Jones, which is probably would have never thought of that before the year. But can we?
That'll even out.
Lazard came back from the ankle injury I think he was suffering from last week, and he caught a touchdown, but didn't really do a whole lot besides that. Are we more comfortable starting him this week now that he's a week off that ankle injury?
Deeper league, yeah. 12, 14. If you're in a 10-team league, I would hope you don't have to start him.
Mm-hmm.
He must be in a bad way.
He was on the injury report here, but if he starts, I love him this week because of every other wide receiver being out. Sammy Watkins has already been ruled out. Pretty much the only other healthy receiver is Romeo Doubs.
Who they did say they want to get involved, but they always say that, and then who knows if that's going to happen.
Exactly. So if he's healthy, I do like Alan Lazard this week.
Mm-hmm. I love Platt jumping over the Bucks now. Are we freaking out about Brady's first 2 weeks? Because they've been bad.
Oh, yes. Big time. The reason I'm freaking out. The reason I'm freaking out about him this week, though, is because Brady does what it takes to win. And when you look at this Packers defense, what they are best against is the pass. And when you look at this Buccaneers offense, the passing game is not working right now because of all the injuries to the wide receivers. So I see a heavy dosage of Leonard Fournette in this game. Would not be surprised if we see over 30 rushing attempts from Fournette, maybe even 5+ targets here. The injuries are not good here, guys. These are the starting wide receivers for the Buccaneers. Russell Gage, Rashard Perryman, and we might possibly get an appearance from Cole Beasley.
Scotty Miller, man. Don't forget about him. We saw him last week. Perryman.
That's a slot receiver. Slot receivers don't start.
Perryman's actually – that's not true. Perryman is also popped up on the injury report too, so that something to monitor as well. But speaking of these pass catchers, Mike, do you want to start any of them?
I like Russell Gage this week. I'm not chasing Perryman's touchdown last week because, in my mind, that was a garbage touchdown. If you guys watched that game, that touchdown was in the fourth quarter. It was to extend the lead against the Saints after Winston had thrown two picks and back-to-back drives. Gage is just safer. Perryman offers a little bit more upside with that bomb touchdown appeal. But if you're looking for safety and security, I think Russell Gage here in a game where you don't have Chris Godwin or Mike Evans.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't really want to start any of them, but nope. I think Gage is the guy if you are in a pinch. We got two more games left, guys. Try to fly through here. We got San Francisco 49ers at the Denver Broncos. Ike, Jeff Wilson coming off a solid week. Is he a must start against this Denver Broncos defense?
Am I the only one that thinks they might get Jordan Mason involved?
I thought that last week we saw TDP get involved, but now he's injured. So you might be right. You might be onto something here, my dude.
You never know, but as of right now,
are you sure?
Garrett Wilson is flexible.
Are you sure you're going to forget about Marlon Mack getting signed from the practice squad?
Ooh, Marlon Mack. So scary.
I am going to forget about him. And just like that, I'm going to move on to is Brandon Ayuk worth starting with possible Kittle return? And Jimmy Garoppolo as the starting quarterback now?
Man, that's I don't know how Garoppolo much they're going to throw now with Jimmy G. I still think they're going to be a running first team.
I mean, you gotta look at it like last year, though, like with Jimmy G now. Ayuk showed worth with Jimmy G there. So
towards the end of the season,
It does kind of look like Ayuk's running as the number one wide receiver sometimes because Debo's playing in the backfield a lot too. So Man, flex is the best guy for Ayuk. That's the best I would do for him.
Keith wants to know, Ayuk or Penny? Same question as last week.
Ayuk.
Yeah, I'd go Ayuk.
Ah, man. Deebo Samuel has Captain Sertan. Penny. Yeah, you go Ayuk.
All right. Mike, jumping over to you, talk Broncos. Can we still start Russ, man, after a tough start? And if you want to talk about another asshole coach, Nathaniel Hackett is on his way to getting that asshole name for sure.
I mean, he's not king of all asshole coaches like Urban Meyer. You know, he's not kicking his kicker yet. But, yes, unfortunately, you have to start Russ, man. You drafted him as your QB1 most likely in drafts, probably early. Because you know you're banking on this potential here of being like a Matthew Stafford like last year, but to bench him after only 2 weeks, it's a little over dramatic in my opinion. This offense will hopefully become more competent. It is just getting its feet wet. I mean, Wilson's looking like he's going to get Jerry Jeudy back this game, which is absolutely going to help raise that ceiling even more. San Francisco's pass defense isn't the greatest. It's the rush defense you worry about, so. You got to start Russ, man. I am a little bit more confident this week, but we are hoping that they are showing some more competency.
Mm-hmm. And then is Cortland Sutton about to go bananas with Jeudy being banged up?
B-A-N-A-N-A-S. No, no, he's not going to go bananas, especially if Jeudy plays. But if Jeudy is out, goddamn, give me all the Sutton I can get.
Yeah, agreed, for sure. Obviously, you're starting him either way. Wide receiver two, yeah. Wide receiver three, you're happy with it. Last one here, we got Dallas Cowboys at the New York Giants. Ike, Pollard or Zeke?
Zeke still, but barely.
Yeah, it's not good.
Barely. It's not good. It's like I said, with a not lot of these teams that passing right now, volume? It's a mess of a backfield. It really is. Pollard seems, like LaPlante said, I think he said, Pollard seems to get more of the receiving work. Zeke just kind of plods around and hopes for the best behind that offensive line, maybe hope to get a touchdown. So either way, your flex is the best they're at right now. I wouldn't trust either or Zeke in an RB2 spot.
Yeah, I don't.
Can I get my 2 cents here? I mean, if you're a Zeke and a Pollard owner, you play Zeke. All right. Yeah. But in the instance of, you know,
why would you have both of them on your team, though?
Yeah, I mean, because you got to, you know, sometimes you roster those handcuffs. I still like Pollard, though, with Cooper Rush at quarterback. If Dak Prescott was at quarterback, I'd like Zeke a little bit more because you get the touchdown upside. But with Pollard, with Cooper Rush, they're most likely going to be down. He's going to get the receiving work like he saw last week. So I lean Pollard a little bit now.
Mm-hmm. And then, Ike, let's stick with this Cowboys offense. Are we back trusted CeeDee Lamb after a shaky week one, although he saw a bunch of targets? Saw a bunch of targets again this week and produced with them. What do you think?
I kind of figured he would be the main target guy. I mean, Cooper Rush has to throw to somebody. It's not like he's going to pull a Justin Fields and throw 11 times. So CeeDee Lamb's the guy, obviously. So keep starting him with confidence because he's going to get the targets, man.
Are you starting him with confidence or are you starting him reluctantly?
It seems like Cooper Rush seems to be pretty accurate. And for some reason, Jerry Jones is welcoming a quarterback battle once Dak is back or whatever. So
Jerry Jones welcomes all attention for fucking attention to the Cowboys.
Oh, man, that's something. And then Dalton Schultz is also on the injury report, guys. Keep an eye on him. And then Mike.
Most likely going to be out, to be honest. That's what I've been seeing trending.
And then, Mike, to finish out the show, I'm just going to let you take this whatever direction you want. You're starting Saquon Barkley, but that's about it in this offense. So why don't you – I'll give you the floor.
I mean, you're starting Saquon Barkley here. It's hard to trust any goddamn receiver in this offense, and this tight end on this team is a wasteland.
You're telling me you don't like Daniel the King Bellinger?
No, yeah. He's got more points than Kyle Pitts on the year.
Yeah,
good point.
Yep.
But Saquon's the only one you can trust from this offense. This offense is still the same guys here because as much as we want a Brian Daboll calling the plays, he's not. He's just not. He's the coach here. He's gonna set the culture, and you know we got different play caller here. You know Daboll has his influence on the play calling, but it is essentially not his game to call. So when we're talking consistent fantasy value, I love Saquon here, but I will say this as an NFL point. I do think the Giants start off 3-0 and win against the Cowboys on Monday Night Football.
That would be some shit, man, if that happens. That would be crazy. But, yeah, that was our last game. So that pretty much wraps up our game previews. I see we got a couple questions here. I'll get to them in a second. But I first just want to remind you guys, if you liked what you heard, please smash that like button. Please subscribe to the Fantasy Six Pack YouTube channel. We appreciate it. Go on over to fantasysixpack.net /plans. Check out our plans. Hop in that Discord. Ask all the questions you want. We love talking. You get all the updates, all that stuff. It's a great time. But like I said, to finish out the show, why don't we take these last couple questions? Trade Kupp and Patterson for Mixon, Pittman Jr., and Jeff Wilson Jr. The only person I'm trading Cooper Kupp for is probably Justin Jefferson, and I still don't feel great about that because of what Kupp has done so far. I would not be trading Cooper Kupp. I'm not going to do it.
My guess here is he's probably got some troublesome worries at running back here. You know, if you're RB1 and you're sitting like Dylan with Clyde Edwards-Helaire as your RB1, I think I possibly make this trade because you get Pittman in return. Pittman is going to finish as a wide receiver one this year. Mark my words.
Just 100 points behind Cooper Kupp, probably.
Yeah. It's true. But if your RB, you know, Dylan's going to disagree. But if your RBs are shit, you're not getting anywhere. That it's plain and simple. You got to have a balanced team all around. And if your running backs are shit, and you got like a player like CEH, Devin Singletary, and probably not Devin Singletary, as your RB1, I'd make this trade. But if you got somebody like, you know, a Barkley, you know, don't trade Kupp.
I love that you say CEH is shit, but we talked about earlier in the show how great he's been to start the year. So
he has been, but we just told you he has 35 fantasy points on 21 attempts. Name another player who's ever done that.
I hear you, but he's shit. Well, we got one from Juan here. Stafford over Burrow this week. I'm going to go Stafford here. Because
don't fuck him, because Burrow fucked him last week.
Yeah, I know, man. But Stafford against the Cardinals friggin' defense we saw.
That's true. Cardinals are brutal.
Picked apart, man. That's where I'm leaning. I'm going Stafford. And I get it. Burrow's playing the Jets. We talked about how the Jets pass defense, or sorry, rush defense is good, and Burrow's been on his back all season. So that's not a great matchup. So yeah, I lean Stafford there.
You know, it's not pretty. You got to lean Stafford. He's probably going to, at this point, Joe Burrow's throwing as many interceptions at Stafford, it feels like. But Stafford's going to throw some interceptions, but you play Stafford against the Cardinals. I think that has a good potential for a lot of points.
Yeah. Like anything? Okay. We got another one here. Would you trade Derrick Henry for a 2023 first-round draft pick? Win now, team. If you're trying to win this year, it doesn't make sense. But if
you're looking towards the future, that's a great trade.
If things start going south, pull the trigger on that because Henry's going to be useful for maybe two more seasons of Dynasty.
And you can get Bijan Robinson in this draft, man.
See, yeah. But that's I don't know if I can agree with you on the Derrick Henry for two more years of dynasty value. The way he's looking right now, coming off that injury, especially if this Titans offense is inept, I just see his value decreasing even more. Win now, like you said, I do agree with you. Win now, it makes zero sense to trade, you know, a top 12 RB this year who's going to finish that way. But that is a potential salivating offer there because we are looking at a draft class here that is going to be star-studded in running backs. I know Ike agrees with me in that.
Mm-hmm. And then just a little bit more clarification. Yeah, my team is horrible in that league. Connor, Patterson, Dobbins as running backs. Cup and Evans, and they're really good receivers. See, I'm still not doing
can't
that.
Do it then.
I still think Cup could carry you, man. And Connor, if he's on the field, he's perfectly fine as an RB.
That's the thing, though, man.
Down upside. That's where I
see. If he gets rid of Cup, he only has Michael Pittman and Evans, and no.
But here's the thing. You're betting, because you can't tell me Patterson's going to have the value all year long, which means you're going to be betting on Connor and Dobbins rest of the season. All right? Dobbins coming off of – it's not great. It is really not good. So if you go and I like to think of it as differentiating your portfolio. You go and trade Cooper Kupp and go and get a RB1 in Mixon and a wide receiver 1 in Pittman. I think that's a good trade considering your RBs and the injury implications involved with them. But ultimately, it does come down to you, sir, because Cooper Kupp, in my opinion, is going to regress even though he is starting off as well as he is.
We'll see if he regresses. I got one from our guy Davis. Zamir White or Tyler Allgeier? Zamir White.
Zamir White.
Zamir White.
And he would get Derrick Henry, by the way. If you're the win now team to make the move for Derrick Henry.
Oh, you would get Derrick Henry. Who?
And then he'd get I think he might. No, see.
If you're going to trade a first round pick, you go get Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I would do Derrick Henry as well, too. Because how good.
But if you're like, how good are you right now without Derrick Henry? Because if you're good enough to win championship, if you think you are without Derrick Henry, next year you're going to be even better with this pick. Well, actually, no, you're going to be.
No, you're not, because you're going to be the 12th pick. So, I mean, if you're looking for long-term value, it's Fournette. He's going to be more fantasy relevant, I think, longevity than Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry has a lot of miles on him, even for being not the starter.
The problem is the way that I'm thinking of it. Fournette's not going to be relevant when Brady's done after this year. That's why I'm out on it. I think, like you said earlier, Mike, I think you target Derrick Henry there. Then he said one more. Would y'all trade Cousins in a 2023 first round draft pick for Tua super flex? No, I would not do that. You're overpaying for Tua there for sure.
You are overpaying for Tua right there after a bomb week.
I get it. He's younger than Kirk, but it with Dynasty, man, you still probably get Kirk for 3, 4, 5 more seasons of.
You're stretching it for 3, 4, 5 seasons. You're at least getting 2. Because when you look at it as a dynasty perspective, you got to look at it as a 3-season interval. You don't look past 3. That's my only thing. But no, you don't trade this.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, let's. I'm just gonna wrap this show. Once I can get that up.
We do have one more here, though. One random. Just last second. Elijah Moore or Myers with his injury.
Myers.
Elijah Moore.
Myers, if he's healthy.
Myers, Myers, if he's healthy. The volume is too hard to pass up. Sorry.
Yep. And that guy, check out all our work at fantasysixpack.net. Like I said, please smash the like button on this video. You can follow Michael Plant at @BLike_ or Mike with 2 eyes. Twitter, you can follow Ike at @Ike2121. And you can follow myself at @DClemens2222.
And most likely, you sound like you're on fast forward right now. So if y'all didn't catch that, thank you for catching us here at the Fantasy Wolfpack Podcast. We really appreciate you guys all hanging out here. Please like and subscribe to the YouTube. Please join us on the Discord if you got to ask any more questions. You can follow me at @BLike_Mike. You can follow Dylan at @DClemens2222. And you can follow Ike at @Ike2121 on Twitter if you have any questions. Go ahead, Dylan. Much better. All right, guys. We love everybody that joined us. It was a blast, as always.
Yep, talk to you next week.
Peace out, guys.